It is time for the Israel Report, and speaking to us this afternoon is Yanky Faber, Israeli journalist. Yanky, mashlomcha, how are you this afternoon?
Yes, fine, I'm okay. We just came out of the miklat, of the shelter, because there was a siren going on. The rockets came from Lebanon this time to Tel Aviv, Ramat Gan, Givatayim, Bnei Brak. But because it's from Lebanon, we don't get a much warning time because it's very close to Israel. So once the rockets are being flying out, we have like 1.5 minutes to find a shelter. But when it comes from Iran, we have like 8 minutes to get ready. So it's much better. And it's great. I was on the street and everybody was running. People are not playing games with the siren. If people behave, they stay alive. Very simple. Most of the people, I mean, I think 95% of the people that were killed did not go to the shelter for different reasons. I don't know why. Because after the rocket has been sent over, many, many pieces are being flying all over. So it can kill you, basically. So it's very, very important to stay in the shelter, even in a building, you know, even inside. It doesn't have to be a shelter. You have to be inside a building and you stay alive today. Two Chinese non-Jewish people work here in Israel. They're builders. They did not go to the shelter. They had a shelter and they didn't go. I don't know, maybe they didn't care so much, and they were killed in the city of Rishon LeZion today. And it's very upsetting because they could have stayed alive.
Yanky, they also
that's the reality.
They're also reporting that the blast in Rishon today may have been caused by an Iranian cluster bomb. I don't know much about munitions. What makes that different from a normal bomb?
Yeah, it's a very dangerous. But I don't know if it's true. But this is what they said: it's a bomb that when it comes down to the place where it was sent to, it becomes like to 16 bombs, like 1-6. It splits to pieces all over, and it flies and it can kill much more people. It can make much more damage. So of course, it's very dangerous. Israel has expected it. Nobody's surprised that they're sending such things. By the way, it's against international law, but they don't care about international law. So, but seriously, a lot of miracles in Israel, because they should have, I mean, you know, according to nature, many people should have been killed here. And people behave, and obviously we have good air defense, and God is also helping us. So altogether, we're doing fine. And by the way, if we talk about Iran, the new leader that I don't know really who was appointed him, nobody really voted for him. He was like the son of the other one, of Khamenei. So Gideon Saar, the Israeli foreign minister, was just on CNN now, and he was asked if Israel will kill him.
Yes.
So he said, you're going to have to wait and see.
What do we know about him, Yanky? What do we know about, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, probably Mojtaba.
He's a billionaire. Mojtaba Khamenei is a billionaire. Seriously, billions he has. He stole the money from Iran, of course. He bought many, many property in London, Germany, and of course Russia, and maybe some other places. He has two massive houses, very nice houses, but they're empty, in front of the Israeli embassy in London. So basically, he can get his people to start then watching the Israeli embassy. And it's been reported by the Daily Mail. And people in England are very crazy about it. You know, how can he buy this guy? He's in sanctions all over. I mean, you know, America and Britain and also the EU have sanctioned the guy, and he's like buying property from who knows which money. And now he's been elected to the leader, and he's a very, very bad guy. He's much worse than his father. His father was Haman from the Megillah Esther from Purim. Mm-hmm. So he's like paroi. He wants to kill everybody. And He's a very, very, very bad guy, much worse than his father. He doesn't have mercy on anybody. And the way he looks like, if he's going to stay in power, I hope not. I hope Israel will kill him. If he's going to stay in power, the people in Iran are going to suffer much more.
It's interesting that he was chosen or elected.
He's the only one, because who do you elect? There isn't really an election in Iran. You got to remember, The Iranian president, his name is Fazakhshian, as they say it, Fazakhshian, something like that.
Yes.
This guy was elected by an election that 70% of Iran didn't vote. They didn't go to the election because it's a waste of time. Because you got to remember that Iran, you have two separate, you know, ministers. You have the Revolution Guard, was yes. They're in charge of Iran, and then you have the president. The president is in charge of. He has the same power that you mayor, that a mayor has in Israel, in South Africa, in America. A mayor, you know, the mayor of New York, he has power. He's in charge of the garbage, of the streets, of the electricity and the water. Everything should be okay. This is the same thing that the president in Iran has. He doesn't have any power. He cannot make agreements. He cannot speak to America and decide. He needs permission from the supreme leader. Now he's going to need permission from Mujtaba. And so it's a joke. And they are not connected, both systems. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. And it's very upsetting. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that in the next few days, it was published in a lot of places, America is going to attack much more stronger Iran, but especially the nuclear sites, to make sure that all nuclear sites are destroyed forever. And this is what they're going to do with the massive planes. That's why Trump was going crazy about Britain, about Starmer, that he didn't give him permission to use the air base in, I don't remember the name of the island, Diego Garcia or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now there is, I saw today a video of about four B-52 planes landing in Europe ready to strike Iran. And they're going to destroy everything, all missiles, all nuclear sites, and then we'll see what's going to happen. We must get the regime down. This is a regime that planned to destroy Israel. Not just Israel, destroy everything. Look what they're doing to the Gulf states. They're shooting like there's no tomorrow. And you know something? So, I feel very, very sorry.
I want you to
live in Bahrain.
I want you to talk to that because yesterday, just yesterday, the foreign minister said that they would not attack Gulf countries anymore. It seems like that was a big lie.
No, I don't think it was a lie. Maybe he really meant it, but nobody cares what he says. He doesn't have any power. Nobody listens to him. And you know something? The people who live in Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait, and even Qatar, who I don't like because they support Hamas, but even all these countries, Saudi Arabia, they have no shelters. They have nothing. They really have no way of defending themselves. That's why so many people get killed in that place. That's why so many people get injured. That's why there's massive damage. And even their air system is not so good like Israel because they never really thought that Iran is going to attack them. That's why, if you remember before the war, they said, we're not going to let anybody to use our airspace. We are with Iran. We are against the war and blah, blah. And they thought that Iran made a big mistake and starting to attack them. So they're going crazy. I really feel sorry for the people who live in those Gulf states, especially United Arab Emirates. They're a very nice country, very nice people, especially to Israel. And I know Israel is helping them. I don't know how. They didn't say, but they are helping them. And Iran is trying to destroy as much as they can.
Do you think there's any chance that any of those Gulf states will actually get involved on the side of the Israelis and the Americans in a public way? Or is it just not something the street would allow?
No, I don't think so. But I don't know if I am an expert to say that I don't think so because, you know, I need to be a military expert to say it and I'm not. But the way I understood today from different people in Israel who do understand, they say they don't think it's going to happen. Definitely not in public. Maybe, you know, quietly, but, you know, under the table, they're going to do something, but not really, they're not going to do it because they don't. But one more thing I can tell you is that all those Gulf states are pushing America and Israel to get the regime down. They are pushing, they're begging them, please take this regime down. Look what they're doing to us. Please get them down. So, Israel, look, all those countries or helping Israel and America. They are in Saudi Arabia and also in United and Jordan. Also Jordan, they destroy many missiles. Many missiles falling down in Jordan. Jordan is stopping those missiles to come to Israel. So they are all afraid of Iran. Iran made a big mistake, and I hope Israel will finish the job with America, of course.
So for the first time, it seems like there was an element of tension yesterday between America and the Israelis. It seems like the Israeli attack on the oil refinery outside of Tehran upset the Americans. Is Israel following its own path in this war? How do you explain that?
No. I think it was just a game. Like, Netanyahu and Trump were playing games with the media. And if you remember, in the last 2 months, many, many things have been published. And after like a few hours, it was people saw that it wasn't a lie. But I don't know, maybe Donald Trump is using the media, the foreign media, and giving them false information that Iran should make big mistakes. And I think that was one of them. Listen, Netanyahu is not stupid. He's not going to do something against Donald Trump without listening. They're fighting together like crazy. 500 planes all over Tehran, America, and Israel. I don't think Israel would do such a thing without getting permission from... it's nice that Israel is doing the dirty job, and America is telling him, no, don't do it. It's like a game. I don't think it's a big thing.
I see what you're saying. Yankee, possibly my last question for you this afternoon. Just this devastating loss of two soldiers in southern Lebanon on Sunday. Wow, we're back there again.
It's very sad. One of them actually lives just where he was killed, like 7 kilometers away. He lives actually in the border, and he actually protected his own house, and he was killed. The other one, he lives in the south, actually. In the north. He's a Druze, he's from the Druze community, and they are both, this is where they're doing the service, and they were killed by a rocket from Hezbollah.
So the press is reporting that the Iranians won't have the capability to continue sending missiles at the level that they are. Hold on one sec, because I want to ask you, when is the frequency from Lebanon going to start slowing down?
I really don't know. I don't know. It's very complicated, Lebanon, because again, Israel is destroying South Lebanon. Israel is destroying all the place where Hezbollah live. They got down yesterday 40 buildings, massive buildings. I don't know how it's going to end, but Israel is destroying basically South Lebanon. By the way, we just had a siren, and I need to go to a shelter now.
Go, be safe. Bye-bye, Yankee. Thank you so very much for talking to us. And there we go. That's the reality of being a correspondent in Israel today under these circumstances.